Hello, welcome to Apple Philosophy Weekly, episode 2, where we talk about the latest Apple news of the week. Before we get the show started, I'd like to introduce Chris, who's part of the Apple Philosophy executive team, and he manages many operations at Apple Philosophy. So, Chris, thank you for joining the episode today.
Yeah, no problem. I mean, it's a pleasure to be here. I'm part of my company, and yeah, it's amazing, especially with you, Holden. So,
thank you, yeah, Chris, for joining.
Let's get straight to this.
Okay, so before we get started, be sure to follow us on Instagram at Instagram/Apple Philosophy. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook. You can even join our Telegram community chat. And if you have any questions about the show, you can email me at Holden@applephilosophy.com. And you can ask me what your favorite app. You can tell me what your favorite Apple product is. Just you can email me anything if you want. All right. So the first thing we're going to be talking about is iOS 12.2. So Apple has announced, well, they released the first developer beta of iOS 12.2 beta 1. Okay, so you're probably wondering, what is new in this beta exactly? Well, so iOS 12.2 includes references to Hey Siri. All right, this is a big thing because it references that AirPods 2 is coming soon. So, Chris, I just have a quick question. What do you expect in AirPods 2?
I think in AirPods 2, it'll be more of a revised design. So I think they'll potentially be a little bit smaller and they'll have a better battery life because they'll find some way to make the already, you know, stupidly tiny chip even smaller. And I think that they'll, you know, put some sort of bigger battery in there, meaning, you know, you have an extended battery life. And it will hopefully, fingers crossed, come with a wireless charging case, meaning that, you know, you'll be able to use it with the air power that, you know, could potentially come out sometime, anytime.
Right.
But I definitely think that this Hey Siri reference is, you know, really interesting because it would mean a step forward in speech recognition for, you know, the science behind it and a way to detect one's voice from, you know, a crowd, let's say, would be really interesting to, you know, see, especially, you know, in a town or a city or something like that. So it's interesting, but it's hard to predict because, I mean, that's all we can really reference from the code. It's not like there's, you know, anything set in stone about what's coming in AirPods 2.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. So I'll just like to say some other stuff that is coming iOS 12.2. All right, so right now this update's in beta, so it's not available for the public yet, but it will be coming soon, within a few weeks. But here is some other things that iOS 12.2 includes. So iOS 12.2 beta includes Apple News support in Canada. So if you don't know, the Apple News app is only available in the United States. But with this update, it'll make it available in Canada. All right. In another update, they also updated some wallet features. I haven't looked into exactly what they changed, but I believe it was some design changes. Chris, do you know anything about that?
As a wallet user myself, I haven't noticed anything that's changed.
I heard they changed something. I believe it was a design change, if I'm correct.
Well, I mean, if it's design change, then it must have been really minor because I haven't noticed anything at all when using the Apple Wallet in the past few days.
Okay, and are you running the iOS 12.2 beta?
In fact, I've actually got my phone set up to update at something like 10:59, 11:59 p.m. tonight. So, not yet, but I mean, I'll definitely, you know, get that as soon as possible.
Oh, okay. Okay, so, and just to let you guys know, if you haven't updated your iPhones yet, so Apple released iOS 12.1.3 to the public. Anyone can update to that today. It's just a performance and bug fix update. And so it can really improve your, it'll fix the bugs if you experience any bugs right now in iOS 12.1.2. But that can really help. So Going back to the Apple News, so Apple News will be available in Canada with iOS 12.2 and is now available for Canadian users to use on the developer beta. Apple News in Canada supports both English and French. Readers can access a unique experience when they follow a channel in a second language. So the Apple Wallet app has also been redesigned with slick new animations. Okay, so I'm looking back right now. So they actually did change the Apple Wallet app with new animations. Okay, and they also redesigned the screen mirroring icon in Control Center. So as a new icon for screen mirroring, and also they also updated the stocks icon. It's not too different. It's honestly really the same. Just like, Chris, do you notice anything different about it?
Well, I mean, since I'm running the older beta version, I can say right now, looking at it side by side on the home screen, that there's actually virtually no change whatsoever. I mean, okay. There's no color differentiation, no changes visually that I can see, so it must have been, you know, probably changing the file type more than anything than something visual. So yeah, no change.
Okay, so going back to iOS 12.2, so another thing I talked about this at the beginning of the episode, so Hey Siri is enabled for AirPods too. So iOS 12.2 will support Hey Siri with AirPods, which is an indication that'll be available in AirPods 2. Chris, what do you expect in AirPods 2? But first, let me tell you what I expect. So, I expect AirPods 2 to include health features that have been rumored for a while, better battery life, maybe better sound quality. Do you expect the same, Chris?
Well, I mean, as you asked earlier, I definitely think that it'll have some extent of being, you know, being able to be used longer, so bigger battery, and a more refined way of, you know, using battery. But I also think, like you said, that there might possibly be some, you know, health side to it, where it could be doubled up as a hearing aid, which can already partially be done, but it's not marketed as, you know, a hearing aid. But yeah, I think that apart from those two things, I think it'll bring some sort of new design to it. I think that alongside everything Apple Pros renders, he'll try and you know, stay up to date to it with it.
Right.
But you know, with AirPods as a product, I think a lot more people were looking for that customization feature when they came out, and a lot of people that I know who have AirPods, my sister included, she uses them, and they're filthy. Like, they are so disgusting. They've gone from a pure white to kind of a tan, almost.
Yellow tan. Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it's disgusting. But
oh man.
But yeah, thinking about it, like from that point of view, I think that with the trend that Apple's been setting at the moment, which is, you know, revealing products that are in space gray, I think that there maybe is a slight possibility that AirPods could, you know, come out in a space gray, or in everything Apple Pro's case, a jet black color. But there's not really too much evidence to back that could happen, but I think it might, you know, have, you know, a little sprinkle of you know, possibility to happen in the future.
Yeah, I agree with you, Chris. But with AirPods 2, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe AirPods 2 are going to be more expensive than the first generation. I think I read something online that might go up to $200, but we can't officially know that yet until they release the product. But I read a rumor that it could be a little bit more expensive than the original AirPods, because you're getting more features, and Apple has a thing, they like to charge you more for like more stuff you get in the device. So Chris, what price point do you expect for the AirPods 2?
I wouldn't be surprised if it was upwards 200. Of $200.
Yeah.
Just for the fact that, you know, with AirPods sound quality at the moment, you know, the way that they are at the moment, they're, you know, really good. They're, you know, the bass and then the treble, you have,
so
you know, all of that. And then,
hey, Chris, just to stop you, I actually don't own the AirPods. I was gonna buy them after Christmas, but then I decided to not buy them to save my money for maybe the AirPods 2. But I don't know if I really need the AirPods because I have the Beats X, and the quality is really good in the Beats X. I actually only got the Beats X for $50 on eBay, and it still had Apple warranty and everything. Because I had to get them replaced one time because I had a speaker issue. But these the Beats X are great headphones too, just to mention. But I think they're really good for users that want good wireless sound quality, but at the same time they want like a lower price point, because you can find these on eBay for like 40 to all the way to $80. But just want to mention there's alternatives out there Apple provides that, yeah, basically the Beats X are great headphones too, because the reason I didn't get the AirPods is because the Beats X were better, because I tried the AirPods before, but with the Beats X, I had a better experience with them.
Keep going. Yeah, to be honest, having AirPods, to me, the air quality, wow, the sound quality on them is, you know, way better than anything that I've listened to, you know, using headphones personally. But like you said, there are, you know, many, many, many alternatives that either include using a dongle, that are wireless.
Right.
And then with the W1 chip on the Beats headphones, I think that's good because, like you said, it's better for a slightly less expense for the customer.
But, well, definitely.
But I think it with AirPods 2, it would be, you know, it would be worth $200, $230, $220 for what you're paying for, because from what I'm going off here, looking at the article right now, it would come with the wireless charging case by default, and
yeah, that'll be good if they do that.
Yeah, and I mean, then having that capability of wireless charging is, you know, an extra. And then also having the chip development, because I, like I said earlier, I think the chip will be smaller. And then the speech recognition as well. I think that all of that will, you know, combine to make a product that is actually worth $300, not just being upsold from, you know, right. What is that at the moment, $159?
Yeah, so you can find for $159. I looked on Amazon. I don't know why. Sometimes the pricing for Apple products on Amazon, for me, it's just weird. But on Amazon, they sell the AirPods for like $230 or something like that. I'm like, who would honestly buy that when you can go to Apple.com and buy them for $159? But think about it. I think it's actually more expensive because $159, there'll be like a $13 tax on that or something. I'm not doing the math right now, but on Amazon, you can find them for like $200. My only guess is they're that price on Amazon because of potentially that it's hard, maybe for people that are hard to find stock of AirPods. I'm not sure. They've been having supply shortages for a while, but I'm pretty sure it's resolved by now.
Yeah, because, I mean, I'm pretty sure you guys listening and Holden yourself were aware of the AirPods for Christmas meme trend that went on.
It's funny because it's kind of true, because so I go to school and everyone at my school, they all have AirPods. Like one day I was just walking in the hallways and I just look around and like everyone just has AirPods. I'm like, when the heck did you get AirPods? Christmas.
Yeah, I know. It's interesting because I mean, like everyone says, oh, Apple products are so expensive. They're outrageous and they cost like $20 to make, and they're selling it to me for 400% ups, 400%, you know, markup,
yeah,
stuff like that. And yet they have AirPods, and they're $159, so round that up to 160. And they're saying that everything else is expensive when they have headphones that work mm-hmm. with their phone, which is an Apple product, and then, you know, everyone's got one. It shows kind of not only the social trend for Apple products, but then also the, you know, the way that they, that Apple would make revenue is kind of shifting as well, because mm-hmm. you used to think of Apple as someone who would, you know, sell you an iPod and stuff like that, but then they've kind of converged off of that, and they're now in the phone, headphone, and watch industry more than, you know, the music players like the iPod and the computer market. Because while there's still the Macs, I think people care about those less, because you ask someone, like, oh, what phone do you have? And it's, you know, 9 times out of 10. Well, don't quote me on that because it's probably wrong, but it's mostly Apple. And the way that this AirPod trend has, you know, come about, I think it's really interesting, because it's showing how just through talking to someone, you can recommend a product, they will go out and buy it. And
right.
even though Apple doesn't include the sales anymore in the
they stopped doing that. They stopped doing that this year, I believe, right? Just recently.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Was it for just for iPhones, or was it for like product sales as a whole?
I'm pretty sure it was just for iPhones.
Okay, because I think it would be interesting to see on the Q1 for 2019. It would be interesting to see, you know, how much merchandise they sold and how much you could kind of allocate that to just AirPods alone. So
right.
definitely have to keep an eye out on that. But I think, you know, that's something to consider, especially when, you know, looking at AirPods as a whole and as a basically a new product in the Apple plethora of products.
Right. Okay, so speaking of iPhone, I now want to talk about the iPhone XR. So Apple this week has recently expanded their iPhone XR trade-in program. So according to 9to5Mac, Apple has expanded their iPhone XR trade-in program. Previously, they offered this deal only in Japan, but now it has been extended to the United States consumers. With Apple doing specifically is that they're making the price go to the iPhone XR to $449 and the iPhone XS $699. However, so basically you can get the iPhone XR for $1,899 a month as long as you trade in your current iPhone. So this is a sign of Apple's aggressive, I guess you can say, marketing because of iPhone sales. So Chris, do you think this was a good thing Apple did? Doing the $18.99 a month trade-in program?
To be honest, I think the trade-in program as a whole is a little bit of a scam, because, I mean, last year I had the iPhone 8 Plus, and I looked at the trade-in value that it would have if I were to buy it, buy a XS Max.
Right.
And looking at the trade-in value, I had lost about 3/4 of the value of the phone mm-hmm. in that 1 year. And I think it's outrageous that you're paying, you know, for my 8 Plus, it was about $799. And it was outrageous to see that, you know,
mm-hmm.
they were offering, I think it was like $360.
Yeah, all the way down to there if you trade like an iPhone 8 Plus or something.
Yeah, and I think it was just a real, you know, kind of, I'm trying to describe it without, you know, swearing, because it makes me emotional about it, thinking that they would try and scam someone like that. Because well, I mean, it's their own product.
Yeah, well, I don't really, in my perspective, I don't see it really as a scam. I just see it as a way of Apple doing aggressive marketing and trying to get people with the iPhone XR, because Apple claims that their sales are okay, but I think they want them better for investors. But I really believe the 1899 tactic Apple is doing in extending the aggressive marketing until February, I think it's a good thing. So we can get so more Apple like customers can get the iPhone XR. And I think it offers more flexibility for pricing because it's just $1,899. But think about it. You have to pay $1,899 a month for 24 months, I believe. And then you have to pay, like, the cell service with it. Price, like, phones can really add up with service. No joke.
Yeah. And but, I think...
Oh, and that... then... No, sorry. Oh, sorry. And then think about it. You have to trade in your phone to get that deal. I honestly think it's a good deal. Honestly, for me, I'll do it if I wanted to upgrade. But right now, I'm pretty satisfied with my iPhone 6S. Gotta make the older phones last. But I just never needed a newer phone. And I'm pretty satisfied with my iPhone 6S right now. But just in my opinion, I think it's a good thing that Apple's doing this. Like, some people might not like it, but it's just me. So, yeah, we're gonna say, Chris?
I was just going to say that I think offering the trade-in program is good for someone who maybe, you know, is being introduced to the phone market. But I think that having, like, say if you have a phone, like, you've had a phone for ages, you've bought and sold multiple phones, I think that you'd be better off trying to find a deal with a carrier than with, you know, Apple directly, due to the fact that this deal
is strictly through Apple, just to mention, no other retailers are doing this. This is just a strictly, this is just an Apple thing. It's on Apple.com and Apple on an app, sorry, Apple stores locations. So just to mention that, and also the, yeah. Just to mention, the iPhone XR and iPhone XS promotion will be ending on February 17th, 2019. So I guess you can say it's a good opportunity to give someone special a new iPhone for Valentine's Day, eh?
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
Which is on February 14th.
Yeah, in fact, my dad's birthday, so that'll be cool. Interesting. But, yeah, I mean, getting back to the topic, I think that you'd be better off going to a carrier due to the fact that you'd be paying for the phone while using it and then also having the calls, the texts, and the data. Because, I mean, I understand that in the US, cellular plans can cost upwards of, you know, like $100 a month if you're paying for your family.
Oh, no, definitely, you're right.
Whereas over here in the UK, it's about $30, which is about maybe,
It's cheaper in the UK?
Yeah, it's so much cheaper in the UK. I mean,
I thought it would be more expensive. I mean, that's just, okay, that's interesting.
Well, no, I'm saying £30, but that's for four people. My mom, my dad, me, and my sister. And I think the American cell phone market is kind of a bit corrupt in the sense that they're charging, you know, so much just for 1 month of, you know, calling and data and stuff like
people
that.
People will pay for anything for phones these days.
Yeah, true, because, like,
keep on going, my bad.
Yeah, don't you have the unlimited Verizon plan or something like that?
Indeed I do. I have I forgot what it's called, but I do have a Verizon Unlimited plan, and people say you get throttled from these U.S. Unlimited plans, but the truth is, I've only been throttled, like, twice for, like, 10 minutes each. Like, it's really not a big deal, and it's nice because I don't have to think about, like losing debt, like, using my monthly allowance at all. Like, I don't ever think about that, but to be honest with you, the Verizon Unlimited plan, I really like it. I'm pretty satisfied with it. But yeah, I do have a limited plan.
Yeah, because, I mean, how much do you pay for that?
So I honestly don't exactly know the details. I have to look back, But so I do know is I have three lines. Wait, one, two. Yeah, I have three lines, and I believe they're like $50 or $40 a month each. So 40. So maybe like around, maybe like 180 in total per month, because still paying off iPhones and stuff. So maybe 180 a month, maybe 170, 60 around there. Hey, that's just like between 150 to 180.
Oh my God, that is. I've got goosebumps at the moment from hearing that.
But
that
it could be cheap. It could be cheaper. I actually used to have AT&T, and AT&T was. All right, I'm gonna be honest with you. Their service was fine, but the plan we had was like, I'm thinking, okay, it was like 6 gigabytes for like three lines, and we ran out like on like the first week all the time, because we actually use the internet, and we're paying. So the reason we switched to Verizon was that they offered more data for a cheaper price, so that's why we moved to Verizon. So I'm just trying to imagine what AT&T is charging right now. I imagine it's close to the same now, because I switched to Verizon like 2 to 3 years ago. So, like,
yeah, because
the price is always changing. That's the thing. These plans change every year, I swear. Like, there's always a new plan, and they always modify, like, whatever they're doing.
Yeah, and I mean, do you get like perks for being with Verizon? Because with my plan, I get money off, or I can choose to have extra data, or
so,
I can choose to have extra calls.
So Verizon does have something like that, but I honestly don't care about it. So I know they have one, but I'm just not using it. That's the thing.
Oh, okay. And I mean, moving on, I think we should talk about the new iPads registered in the Eurasian database.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Because, I mean, it was also hinted in iOS 12.2, which referenced code to, let me have a look, yeah, the new iPad 11 model, and also a new iPod model as well, iPod 9.1.
Right. No, you're totally right. So Apple has registered 6 new iPad models, and they're Asian, Economic Commission database, and required by Russia. I believe this database is for Russia, Ukraine, maybe you. I'm not sure of all the countries, but definitely Russia. Mainly for Russia, I believe. But what Apple has to do, basically, is register their iPads and iPhones before they release it, because they're required to do that for encryption, because these devices are like all encrypted and stuff like that. They have to register it before they sell it, because it's an encrypted device. And so what's nice about that is because we get to see what's coming soon for Apple, and this potentially gives us a hint that they're going to be announcing new devices in March, because Apple usually has an event in March, and so it just gives us that, like, it just gives us that hint, and like, ooh, March event coming.
Yeah, and what do you think the iPads will be, you know, modeled around? Because, I mean,
Like the naming?
No, not the naming. I mean, like, with the, I think it was the iPad 6, or, you know the one that was done for education, right? The one that was held at the high school.
Oh, yes, that one.
Yeah, what do you think they'll try and do? Because I understand that they had the one for education. They also had one for, you know, the iPad Pro, saying how it's, you know, a laptop and not just an iPad and stuff like that. So what do you think they'll say about this?
Okay, so this is what I think they're going to do. Okay, so we already know they're supposed to announce an iPad Mini 5. Okay. And they're supposed to also release a new entry-level iPad with a 10-inch display, replacing the existing 9.7-inch model, which is referred as the iPad 6.
Mm-hmm.
Sixth generation. So this is what I think they're going to do. Okay. So I do believe they're going to release the iPad Mini 5, hopefully for a cheaper price. I cannot tell you if it's going to have Face ID or Touch ID. I hope it has Face ID because Apple's been really pushing that for their iPad Pros. But the only thing about if they release Face ID is it'll probably be more expensive, don't you think?
Yeah, because, I mean, pushing Face ID onto, you know, an iPad mini is definitely something that would cost more because it means that...
Right, because it's newer technologies.
Yeah, it would be new technology and also the fact that you'd assume that with Face ID, there'd be a notched display or even one similar to the current iPad where the bezels are literally pushed to the minimum. So I think you'd be paying for that screen real estate as well as the Face ID technology.
Right. So so I believe the new entry-level iPad, I believe it's going to be cheaper because I've been hearing rumors that, this is a long time ago, but I heard rumors that they're going to make it like $50 cheaper. So maybe like $250 or like $200. I think this will be really good for the, like, I think cheaper devices, I think it'll be better for the education, but I think Apple can do it in a way that the specs are good still, but it's a cheaper product. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think that, you know, an iPad that's entry-level and entry-level priced is, you know, ideal because rather than, you know, giving a kid an iPod rather than an iPhone, I think giving a kid an iPad now is better because it's, you know, one, updated, and two, it's, you know, something, especially with $50 knocked off of it, it's a really good product for what it is. I mean, it's got a big battery, big screen, and it's easy for kids to use. And so I think that taking this $50 off is potentially going to give them, you know, a long-term benefit because they'll, you know, generate more sales with it being cheaper. And I think that they'll try and, you know, push that onto a consumer through advertising that they'll, you know, make it clear it's $50 cheaper. It's something that, you know, is ideal for you. So buy it now.
Yeah. So personally, I want iPads to beat the Chromebooks so bad right now. Like, it's insane how bad I want them to beat it. Just the way, the only question is, how would they do it? I really want the iPad to beat the Chromebook because, trust me, I used a Chromebook before. It is so bad. All right. Like, I do not like the Chromebooks at all. That's just my opinion. You guys might like them. It might work for you. But for me, like, using the Chromebook, it's not good at all. But, hey, Chris, have you ever used a Chromebook before?
Only in stores like Walmart and Target I've used them. But the thing is that a Chromebook, to me, is basically just Google Chrome in a box. Like, I don't see it as something that is standalone. Like, it couldn't support something that a, you know, a desktop or even a regular laptop could do because of the limitations that it has with, what is it, Chrome OS or something like that?
Yeah, it's called Chrome OS.
Okay. Yeah, and I think it's just, you know, having that, it's just a bit blah. Like, I can't really think of something else to describe it as because it's just not user-friendly in the sense that, you know, Windows or even Mac OS is.
Yeah, just in my opinion, I think the computer's lame. Like, just, like, design's cool and everything, but, like, can't really do much with it unless there's just do stuff on the internet. Like, if you're that person who just needs it for the internet, get the Chromebook, but, like, I don't know. It's just not for me.
Well, I mean, you had one for a while, didn't you? Was it school or was it your own?
Yeah, school gave it to me because, alright, so just to give you guys a little bit, just to let you guys know, so this is what happened. So if you don't know, I had a MacBook Pro 2011. Okay, don't get me wrong, the computer was okay. But then I had the common graphics issue, and I couldn't use it anymore. So it was causing me to use my, issued computer, which is a Chromebook. Okay. So I was stuck using that for 4 months, running Appleosophy, which is total crap. But then over December, I'm like, okay, I need to look for a new computer. I'm gonna commit to this and buy a Mac. So that's what I did. I bought a MacBook Air 2014. And I also might write a review on Appleosophy about it. It's about my experience of running a 2014 computer in 2019. But I gotta tell you, the MacBook Air 2014, it is like really good for the price I got it for. I got it for $300 from an eBay seller. And I gotta tell you, the computer works great. It's fast. It has SSD. It's an amazing computer. And I'm like, I'm glad that Apple is making, like, you know how, like, people say, like, when you update, like, the computer gets slower? I haven't really noticed that in this computer, which is a good thing. And that could be thanks to the SSD in the computer.
Well, I mean, sorry to interrupt you, by the way. But no, I think that with Macs, especially, like, people complain about, you know, Apple's technology all the time. Oh, they make it slower when the new phone comes out. Oh, you get throttled and whatnot. And while to some extent they do, with what happened with the battery issues last year, I think while they were trying to run it off as them trying to, you know, preserve the phone, mm-hmm. I think, you know, to some extent that was true because, I mean, with the other product lines, like the Mac, it's definitely prevalent that they try and keep it going for as long as possible. I mean, I'm running a 2015 21.5-inch desktop, and it hasn't slowed down one bit, and I've had it for so long.
Sorry to interrupt you, but just to mention that that could possibly be Apple's file system. I believe it's called AFS, Apple File System Protocol. Am I right?
I think it's AFS. Yeah, I can't even say it. AFS.
Okay, yeah. I believe that could have helped because that could potentially make it faster.
Yeah, and I mean, as I was going to say, my Windows computer, it's utter crap. Like, I can't do basic functions on it, and if I do basic functions on it, it takes me half an hour longer than it would do to do it with, you know, a Mac.
Yeah.
And I think, like, as you said, it's good that you managed to get a Mac, one, for that price, because, you know, they're a premium product, and they have premium
parts. I got it for a good price.
Yeah, I mean, like, it has the SSD, a good quality screen, the trackpad, the butterfly keys, and then you look at my, you know, crappy Acer, and it's got, you know, 4 gigs of RAM, you know, a fairly outdated screen, a slow CPU, and no SSD storage. And you look at that and you think, wow, I should have really paid a couple $100 more to get a product that would last, you know, double the time. And I mean, it's just disappointing that people seem to have the idea embedded in them that, you know, they purposely slow down the phones and stuff like that, when actually I think it is on Apple's side.
Right. Yeah, dude, people get mixed up with that all the time. Like, people...
Yeah.
Like, it drives me insane.
Yeah, it's kind of a bit of a pain in the ass, because then you have to say, well, if you didn't have your phone slowed down by Apple, you'd be complaining that the batteries were crap, when in fact they're not. It's just the fact that general wear and tear means that the way that you use your phone, it will die out in a couple of years. And so I think that there's just that common misconception that's there. And I think that, you know, people are just a bit confused sometimes. So I think, you know, it's definitely good that something like that is, you know, just lasted so long compared to other products from the same market.
Right. Okay, so now I'd like to transition to the new iPod Touch. So there's rumored to be a new iPod Touch coming. Okay. And just yesterday from today, we've got some new information about the iPod Touch, but found in iOS 12.2 code, there's references of a new iPod, iPod 9,1. Okay, so you're probably wondering, well, when are they going to announce this? I predict that they're going to announce the iPod Touch either in March, because it's in iOS 12.2 code, and like they're probably going to release iOS 12.2 by March at least, let's just say. But I assume they're going to release a new iPod in March or earlier. What do you think, Chris? And what do you expect from the new iPod Touch?
It's kind of hard to say what I can, you know, when I think the new iPod will come out, because it could be a possible thing where they do a subtle release and they release it in WWDC, or it could be, you know, a pretty big release and they could even draw it out all the way to September. But I think with it being added to the database in January, I think that there's, you know, a possibility, like you said in the article, that it'll either come out in March or it'll come out in WWDC. And
all right, here, sorry, I'm gonna stop real quick. So the reason why I think they're releasing in March is because it's referenced in iOS 12.2 code, and like it's in beta stages, and eventually, I really think iOS 12.2 will release in March, and I just think the development stages, like the process, I really think they're going to announce the iPod Touch in March, plus maybe with AirPods 2 and maybe new iPads and the iPad Mini 5.
Well, yeah, I think what they could do is do like they did last year and do a standalone iPad event, of which they release the new AirPods and AirPower as well as the iPod, because Apple, you know, likes to do that, where they, you know, collect all these products and then release them in, you know, to the public through a keynote. And as for the iPod, apart from, you know, updated processors and, you know, the new A series chip, I can't really say what I think will be in a new iPod, because I think, quite frankly, while the iPod has been a pioneer for Apple in terms of, you know, getting them off the ground, getting them well known, I think the iPod's pretty much dead, because while you, you know, have your apps and stuff on it, there's, you know, the limitations of having an iPod that you don't have with a phone. So that's just something in my mind that I'm considering, but I mean, I could be wrong. I probably am. So
it's your opinion. I respect that. There's totally different views on the iPod. I really don't think the iPod's dead exactly yet. I think Apple's going to like release one more generation of it, then they're going to kill it off, because I think the iPod Touch, I think they really make it good for like kids and stuff like that. Cause like, I really think Apple's going to target that market out of anyone, because
like, yeah, that's what it was.
Right. I think the iPod Touch is it's good for people that like don't want a phone and they just want the iOS experience. It'll be good for developers too.
Well, yeah, I think it would be good, like you said, as a developer device, but from a kid's standpoint, would you not say that the iPad Mini, the new iPad Mini, would be better for a kid because of the bigger display and, you know, them being able to tap bigger things as such, rather than having, you know, a portrait display that's smaller and, you know, could potentially, you know, be lost like mine was when I was about 7.
Okay, so here's the thing. I really think that the iPad Mini 5 is for everyone. I know it sounds weird. I know, like, you things are targeting, but the iPad Mini 5 and 4, all the iPad Minis, I see restaurants use them. I see kids use them. I see business people use them. It's kind of like the everything device. It's not really for, like, one market.
Yeah, I can see your standpoint there.
Okay, good. But that's just how I see it. but at the same time, I do see your side of it.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I've seen, like you said, so many different types of people use an iPad mini. But an iPod, the last time I saw an iPod being used was, more than 3 years ago. I mean, that's just my personal events of me, recollecting when I last saw an iPod. But.
So, sorry to interrupt you, but last time I saw an iPod, the only time I see iPods now are like little kids using them or at the Apple store. That's like the only time I see iPods these days.
Yeah, because I mean they don't really have any I guess you could say practical use unless you're in home connected to Wi-Fi and you're using it as a hub for music, for example, or something like that to control your Apple TV.
Right, I see what you're saying. Okay, so now I'm gonna transition to Microsoft Office officially released on the Mac App Store. So this was first announced at WWDC 2018 by Apple, and there it's Microsoft Office is released this week. It's now available in the Mac App Store. But you can download it on the Mac App Store. You can download Microsoft Word, PowerPoint, Excel, and Outlook. However, previously Microsoft had OneDrive and out in OneNote. Do you know what OneNote is? I honestly don't know anything about Microsoft really much anymore. Do you know what OneNote is? I think it's a note app. Am I right?
Yeah, but it's a
Okay.
really annoying one because you can't
Really?
seem to turn it off at startup, which is annoying.
Really? Huh.
Yeah, it always happens to me on my Windows computer.
But here's the official pricing. So they have Office 365 Personal, which is $70. All right, these are all subscription based, so $70 a year. Then Office 365 Home is $100. All right, and then there's Office 365 Solo, which is $120. And those are all yearly prices. And you can use your Apple ID. You could do these subscriptions through Apple. But a quote from Phil Schiller. So we're excited to welcome Microsoft Office 365 to all new Mac App Store and Mac OS Mojave. Apple Senior Vice President of Worldwide Marketing. Apple and Microsoft have worked together to bring great Office productivity to Mac users from the very beginning. Now, with Office 365 on the Mac App Store, it's easier than ever to get the latest and best version of Office 365 for Mac, iPad, and iPhone. So, Chris, what do you think of Office 365 being on the App Store?
I think it's a good thing for Apple because I understand that with App Store subscriptions and purchases, they're able to take commission from it. So that's a plus side for them. And then Microsoft is able to have a secure portal to push their apps through and the updates for them as well. Because me
Right.
personally, I have. I think it's Office 365 from my school, and that was downloaded, offline through a DMG installer, and it's never updated or anything like that. So I think that having,
Yeah, it'll be more secure and it'll be easier to roll out those updates.
So just the security as a whole, I think will be better. But I think that for it to, really make a bang, I think that Microsoft should have introduced something like a feature that would, make it unique to the App Store. Like, oh, you should buy the App Store version rather than the, web version. Because I think a lot of people already have Office or Office subscriptions. And I think that, why would you pay the same amount to have the same software but on a different platform?
Right. So, yeah, I agree with you. I really see it as like a good way that, because a lot of people use Microsoft Office, some people just don't use Pages and Keynote and Numbers like I do. It's completely free with the Mac, but some people just don't want to use those and they want to use Microsoft Office. I'm not saying Microsoft Office is bad, just I just use the Apple stuff. That's just me.
Well, I think it's to do with the institutional side of it, like with Pages.
Oh, yeah, true,
it's only
true,
available
true.
On a Mac, well, because
right,
that's the Apple etiquette. But with Word, it's available, you know, on iOS, on Android, Mac, Windows, mm-hmm. I think even Linux as well. And so I think that
it's more universal. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, people are introduced to it at an early stage and then they get used to it, so they're more focused on it as, you know, the go-to word processing software rather than, you know, Pages. Because to be honest, I never use Pages, and I've tried doing things that I would know how to do in Word in Pages, and it just hasn't been, you know, as successful. And
I use Pages all the time for school and everything, because I just started, like, I was just never a fan of Microsoft Office. Like, it's good, it's just, I like to design better on Pages, and it's the Apple way, and so that's just a reason why I use Pages and Numbers and Keynote and all the Apple apps.
Yeah, well, I mean, I like the design of Pages and Numbers and, you know, Apple's mm-hmm. version of Office as such, but I think that the way that, Microsoft has the same practicality, but in a, you know, easier to navigate because, you know, it's more widely taught. I think that's why Microsoft is, you know, my personal favorite, as well as, you know, probably a lot of people listening to this live stream, as well as, you know, people who, you know, would be in business. So,
right.
I mean, there's not really much more I can say because I'm kind of neutral on both sides, but I'm swaying towards Microsoft just for the fact that, you know, it's I'm being taught how to use Microsoft Word, and, you know, you don't see many courses at schools teaching students how to use Pages.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. And I really believe Apple will improve Pages, Numbers. Like, have you tried it? So, iCloud.com. So, before, when I had my Chromebook again, I use iCloud.com on the Chromebook. And, of course, it was crap because it's Chrome OS. Everything's crap on there. But, like, I kind of liked it better than Google Docs.
Yeah, and I think that although Google Docs has, you know, the variability of being available online, I mm-hmm. think the way that they have it set out is so it purposefully integrates with the Google product line rather than an Apple product line, so it kind of conflicts.
Right.
So I can see what you're saying, though.
Okay.
And moving on, former Samsung battery executive joins Apple as a new global head of battery development.
Yeah, I heard about that. So can you give me some more information about that? I heard about it. Just the stuff I don't care about that much, just personally. But yeah, I heard about that. I'm kind of curious about that.
Well, I mean, according to a recent Bloomberg report, Apple has hired the previous executive battery developer from Samsung, and it looks like he'll be responsible for the development of the lithium batteries in, you know, the new iPhones and Apple Watches and,
oh, cool.
You know, other Apple products.
So you think it's going to make them explode?
Yeah, I know. That's what I was just going to say.
I'm joking.
Have been commenting on that, thinking that, you know, iPhones are going to start suddenly exploding now. But I think Samsung's moved on from that, but it's still very, very fair to make fun of a Samsung user that the phone could explode because of that.
Right.
But I mean, looking at the article on Appleosophy, it seems that it would be concentrated into, you know, trying to get the battery to last as long as possible, as well as, you know, have the most capacity in, you know, a smaller space. Right. So, I mean, what's your thoughts on this? Because, I mean, while it's interesting to see that a competitor has hired another competitor's employee, I wonder what implications it'll bring. So, what do you think?
So, I think it'll be a good thing for Apple, because maybe hiring the Samsung employee could potentially make iPhone batteries better. Like, that's totally possible, but I don't know, like, I don't work for Apple, okay? So, I really don't, I'm sure they have a secure process and everything like that, but, like, I think, just overall, I think it's a good thing that Apple did that. So, if Apple hires someone that believes they can make their products better, well, then they should, because, like, everyone wants better battery life.
Yeah, it's in their best interest.
No, yeah, totally.
And I mean, I think while having, you know, the whole epidemic of the exploding, what was it, Note 7? I think Note 7. I think that having this battery developer is, you know, kind of essential to Apple moving forward, because was it with the 10 that they introduced the layered battery?
I believe so.
Yeah, and I mean, I think having someone like that who's an expert in their, you know, field of occupation, I think having that skill would be great to have in an iPhone, because it's introducing technology that, you know, could have been on his side when he was at Samsung, but he never got to put in because, you know, Samsung laid him off, basically.
Right.
But what's your thought on it and how he would change Apple?
Just maybe better battery life. Like I said earlier, there's really not too much to say for me about that, but just better battery life. Like, I just maybe making batteries that like hold longer, so customers don't have to replace them. Like, maybe longer lasting battery life, like not like in hours, but like the like in physical and like the physical product.
Yeah, the wear and tear of the battery itself.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Okay, because it's just interesting to see the viewpoint of, you know, you, and also it'd be good to see the viewpoint of everyone listening to the live stream. So make sure you go over to our Instagram and, you know, DM us about this, because we'd love to hear from, one, our listeners, and two, your opinions on this, because, you know, we can then start to, you know, make assumptions, and it's in our name, or in our slogan, the latest Apple news and rumors. So I think we could definitely try and, you know, start to speculate on, you know, a generalized opinion on, you know, what is going to happen and, you know, the future events that may hold.
Right. So we'll be wrapping up this episode, but I just want to say one more thing before we wrap up this episode of Appleosophy Weekly. So the last news story we're talking about is images show Apple preparing news app in iOS 12.2 for new magazine subscription service. So 9to5Mac has recently found some evidence of Apple preparing their news app. But this can show that Apple is working on a new subscription, which has been rumored for a long time now, which is good. All right, so this is what I want to see from Apple. I want to see Apple make the ultimate subscription. So what I mean by that, I want them to make a subscription with everything. So example, maybe 2 terabytes of iCloud storage, maybe along with Apple Music, with Apple's TV service, and then also Apple's new subscription service with it. Maybe they can create the ultimate kind of like plan. Do you think Apple should do this?
Yeah, I think it would be interesting to see because, you know, like we were talking about earlier, it was a bit, you know, kind of crap that you're having to pay like $100 a month for phone plan when,
yeah,
you know,
right.
You could also invest $100 into buying this, you know, Apple Supreme plan, and you get, you know, all the little tidbits that you would normally have to pay for separately. I think that it would be beneficial to someone who is, you know, like a diehard Apple fan and has an Apple TV, who has Apple Music and has, you know, a subscription to a news service, or even just a subscription to Apple News as a whole, because I understand that with some news sources, they charge subscriptions for their individual, you know, accounts. And
right.
I think it's kind of poor on Apple that they allow them to do that, because say if you're paying to view CNN, which, you know, it's free, but just in a hypothetical situation. So say if you're paying to view CNN, you're getting mm-hmm. everything else on Apple News for free except CNN, and you pay, I think it's $2.99, is, you know, like the regular cost. You pay $2.99 and you get them the CNN access, but it's just something that I would consider as just like an unnecessary microtransaction. Like, they're trying to reap and sow you just because, you know, you want access to that one news source. And
mm-hmm.
I think, you know, it's like you were saying earlier, a bit of an aggressive marketing tactic, but I mean, it'll probably work because, you know, it's Apple, but I think that there's, you know, some limitations with news, and I think that there could be, you know, room for improvement.
No, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. And just one last thing, this just in from one of our followers, but Apple has actually just introduced public transport to the Swedish version of Apple Maps. So this means things like, oh god, I'm not going to be able to pronounce these, but MTR Express, Snälltåget.
No, it's okay, dude. Names,
SJ.
they're hard to say sometimes.
Yeah, and Skandinaviska, Jönbor, and Arlanda Express have been introduced to the public transport section in the Swedish version of Apple Maps. And
that's cool.
Yeah, what this means for you guys in Sweden, if you are listening to us, it means that you'll be able to plan routes with your, you know, preferred public transport provider, and yeah, you'll be able to use public transport in Apple Maps to, you know, get from A to B, B to C, wherever you're going.
Cool. Yeah, thanks for telling me about that, Chris.
No problem.
But yeah, our team will learn more about that. We'll get an article out on applewatch.com very soon after this podcast. Okay. So, I'd like to thank everyone for joining. Chris, I'd like to thank you for joining today's episode.
Yeah, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity. And just talking about what we were just reporting, that
mm-hmm.
news was just reported by AlexP002 on Instagram. So, huge shout out to him.
Okay, thank you, Alex, for reporting that information. We really appreciate it. And if guys, gals, anyone, if any of you guys have any, like, find information before Applewatch does, dude, you're welcome to share it, because we really appreciate it, and it really helps us out as a company too. So people like Alex, we really appreciate these type of people that give us news before anyone reports it. So thank you for your tip, Alex, and yeah, we'll get report on that very soon. So I'd like to thank everyone for joining episode 2 of Applewatch Weekly. If you haven't already, be sure to check out Applewatch on our website at applewatch.com. Applewatch is on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, It's also on Google Podcasts, Google Play Podcasts. What else is it on? Oh, yeah, we're on Yep. And we're also on Amazon Alexa. So you can now add Applosophy Weekly to Amazon Alexa.
With the command, hey, Alexa, tell me the latest Apple news.
Hey, yeah. You're sub everyone's Alexas now. Okay. And also, be sure to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. My name is Holden Satterwhite, CEO and founder of Applosophy, and we'll conclude this episode.